Welcome, everyone, to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me, as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got a episode chock full of highlights and results for you folks from baseball, basketball. The Final Four is now set, and for men and women. And, you know, we have some other news for men's basketball and women's. You know, of course, end of season transfers, moving on, and so forth. But before we get into any of that, wanted to check in with the you guys, see how everything's going. Happy to go over this with you. I mean, it was a good week for baseball, undefeated, looking good going into this next weekend, which will be on the road. But I don't know. I feel like it helped solidify at least a couple things against which, you know, was a pesky Mississippi State team. I think we've heard of, against them as good as Texas did, I think. And they, you know, they kept it close against Texas for a game at least. So I know the series loss against Texas was not really that detrimental, especially with what else has gone on. But I want to see how you guys are doing. Tommy, hope you had a good week.
Yeah, no, good week. Good to be here. Exciting sweep of Mississippi State. That's what we needed to get back on track, I feel like. And I think you're totally right. Like, a pesky team, not the most talented team we faced or will face, not the most, disciplined team, but pesky, and you know, did not give up. And so I was really glad about the sweep there. I think it's a big momentum shift for us, or not really a shift, because I think our momentum is still positive, but it just continues the positivity and a good way to bounce back after, like you said, a disappointing loss.
Yeah, good to be with y'all. Like Tommy said, the baseball 4-0 on the week, can't complain there. Although a lot of the Mississippi State games, they started so late due to rain delays. They were starting at like 10, 11 p.m. Eastern time, which I'm in. So I would make it through like one inning and then have to conk out. But glad they got the win in SEC baseball after dark. Unfortunately, the women's basketball made it to the Elite Eight and no farther, but still a good season there. And then, yeah, all one seeds in the men's Final Four, which hopefully that'll make for some good matchups coming up this week. So certainly madness in March, and now we're into April. Hopefully no fools there, but we'll be bringing all the action either way.
Exactly. And yeah, man, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was actually going to say, man, in true fashion, it's not SEC or LSU baseball unless we have a real good rain delay, and we had one. But at least in this one, man, two technically, but at least the one on Saturday, Tigers came out ready. I don't know what they were doing before the game, playing ping pong, Call of Duty, or whatever they're doing. You know, I think they're doing some batting practice too. But they were ready. Murdered the Bulldogs 17-8. But yeah, it was great to complete the sweep for the week, actually, because they won the midweek game. And then, of course, had the I'd say the pivotal game was probably the first one, because Tigers were behind for a bit, but we came back. And I'd say there's still good pitching all throughout. I think there's still like an Ianson hate train for some reason. But the guys, I mean, guy put up 13 strikeouts. I think they had 18 altogether in game two. But I think the best thing is, you know, we could see another good combo of our starting pitcher giving us a lot of innings, and then the reliever coming on and just taking it through us the rest of the way. Two pitchers, that's it. And it was a close game, so it really could have gone either way. And just luckily, Cowan and Evans in both of their appearances shut them down. So that's really good moving forward, because when you think about postseason, that's what it comes down to. Yeah, you can win two games in a row to win the series during the season, but can you win four games in a row in Omaha? And I think this is what's going to help prep us for that. Love to hear what you have to say, though.
Oh, but I mean, I think you're right. I think overall it was a good, solid performance by kind of everybody, except for, I mean, definitely had some trouble in that first game, and kind of had a little barn burner in the Sunday game.
Saturday, yeah, because it was like Thursday through Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
It played into Sunday. You're right, though, because it played into Sunday.
Yeah. but overall, like I said, I mean, just excited about the team, excited about the performance and the sweep. A lot of offensive action, especially in that last game, 17 runs on the board. That's always a good thing. I mean, what more can you say? Daniel?
I think the key takeaway for me from this weekend was that the Tigers found, I would say, three different ways to win against Mississippi State. The first game on Thursday, the Bulldogs jumped out to a quick lead. I believe it was 4-1, and LSU was in the hole. And then we kind of scratched back, getting one or two there. And then in the like fifth or eighth inning, just kept stretching it out. It was a little bit backwards from last week, where Cade Anderson, our Friday night and this week Thursday night starter, was shutting him down. This week he got touched up, I think, for four runs, and then they had to pull him early. But Zach Cowan came on in relief and did what he's done all season, which is just shut the Bulldogs down, through four innings of one hit ball, and that was pretty much that. So nice comeback win on Thursday. And then Friday, you mentioned, Scott, it was the pitcher's duel, went down 2-1 in LSU's favor, both runs coming on solo shots, one from Ethan Frye, and then Luis Hernandez, who's coming on pretty well with his bat so far in this season, and then only allowing the one run. And that was the mix of Ianson and Kaysen Evans coming out of the bullpen. So there is an argument to be made that Cowan and Evans, the two relievers, are our best pitchers so far this year, both coming out of the bullpen. They've both been lights out. And then on the last game on Saturday, it was just the offensive explosion with the Tigers hanging an eight spot in the first inning, and it was pretty much over at that point, where it was just a hitter's parade, one RBI after another. And then, yeah, Mississippi State did score eight. You'd like to keep them tamed down a little bit, but it was kind of more garbage time hits than anything, just running up the score. So proud of the boys across the board, finding tough ways to win in a tough environment with the rain delays and all that. And, yeah, the schedule doesn't stop. We're going to Norman, Oklahoma to face number 10 OU this week. So all the new additions to the SEC are strong. But, yeah, definitely – keeps the positive momentum going and tempers a little bit of the negativity that was starting to bubble up after the loss to Texas last week.
Yeah. And speaking of like the new additions to the SEC, I mean, I know you're referring to like Oklahoma and Texas, but if you look around the league from what we've seen, I mean, A&M is completely fallen off. They're like horrible now.
Yes.
Won the title 2 years ago. Other teams that we're used to, like Vandy, they're okay, right? But they're not what they were, you know, like 2 years ago. And then South Carolina, oh my goodness. Like there was one shot they pinned to Paul Menier, and like he just, I remember it having the same just defeated look on his face. Only had an LSU uniform on like 3 years ago. And now he's in South Carolina. It was just awful to see. I mean, they had a chance, at least in one game against Tennessee. They had the bases loaded, no outs, walked away with nothing. Tell me if that sounds familiar. But those guys.
That's a well-coached Paul Menier team there.
Exactly. And like they still had a chance in each game, but if, you know, not really. It's Tennessee, who, by the way, is, I'd say, probably the top team in the SEC. But there's everybody else beneath that. Florida, they've fallen off the wayside. But now you do have Oklahoma, who, you know, for the most part looks good. They lost at Alabama, but that's who's new. Like, that's who's rising up. Kind of like their basketball team. It's just, where these guys come from? Now they're good. Georgia is, like, top three. I was worried. I guess Georgia's pitching will probably be good, but, man, they've had a lot of bats. And, like, they're something to be considered in the West, you know, supplanting Florida and everybody else. I'm sorry, East. But now you have Texas, who's, you know, first year in the league. But, I mean, they're really good. They had a lot of senior players. I think they lost one due to injury the rest of the year, Bailey U. So they won't have him. But, I mean, we saw how tough they were on that god-awful field, which, by the way, if you look at Vandy's, that's the difference. It's the same material, but Vandy's looks so much better. Anyway,
yes.
But just going to say, like, yeah, we're on the road against Oklahoma. Who were they 3-4 years ago? Doesn't matter. They're pretty solid now. And all these other teams are up while the rest are down. I'd still say, though, man, we have to check the schedule here in a second. But Arkansas, Texas, Tennessee, of course, Georgia, even Auburn, like they were in the top 25. They didn't win their series this weekend because they were at Georgia, but still solid. So we still have a long road ahead of us.
Yeah, you can't count anybody out. SEC has 8 of the top 10 teams in the country right now. Just shows you how dominant they've been on the whole. And yeah, you mentioned Alabama and Georgia, typically not baseball powers, but maybe their football magic is rubbed off a little bit. And Tennessee's, like, they like to claim they're the everything school. I don't know if y'all heard of that online, where like good at football, basketball, baseball, everything. And I mean, it's hard to deny them too much, but Alabama and Georgia are right there with them. And LSU wants to be that everything school as well. Although men's basketball is not exactly our forte at the moment.
We're getting there though. We're going to talk about that in a second, because we at least had some good transfer news already. But just really quickly to finish that out. I don't know. I'd say it's weird that these teams are getting good now, whereas others are falling off. I'd say that's maybe natural ebbs and flow of things, but all these schools also have good other programs going, like you said, football and maybe and or basketball. So maybe it's just the NIL. It's bringing the cream in certain sports can help you rise to the top of other sports, you know, if you got that money to spread around, you know.
I mean, it definitely feeds on itself. I feel like if you can get boosters excited about, you know, export, then it's easier to call them about, you know, call them about basketball, or call them about baseball. I think that, you know, now we're at a point where everyone is pretty much on board with the way that NIL is going to work. Now, of course, with revenue sharing coming, in the next month, that's going to change a lot of stuff, mainly on the football side, but still going to change the landscape of NIL. I think in the way the pie is divvied up between players. But overall, it's definitely it feels like it does build on itself for different programs.
Mm-hmm. And you got to wonder if some of these guys that could have gone anywhere, you know, traditionally baseball schools, maybe they are coming to Alabama or Tennessee or wherever else, because like, well, yeah, I could start at so-and-so, but I could also start at non-traditional powerhouse Ole Miss or Alabama and still start and get paid. So why the F not, you know?
Yeah.
And Daniel, you'd mentioned earlier about like an A spot. It's the second time this week we did that. We actually scored 9 in the first game against Lafayette. I know they hate to say it, but UL Lafayette. And it was like 9-0 in the first inning, after the first inning, went on to win 17-4. So that's twice in a week we put up 8 or 9 in the first inning and 17 overall. I think that kind of bodes well. Tigers do have fight in them. They just got to find it at, well, I guess 66% of the time, no matter what. But anyway, that's pretty much what happened with the women's basketball. As we transition to the Final Fours, LSU women were still in it, but they are now out. They did have a good showing against NC State. I was able to watch pretty much all the second half of that one. Yeah, the third and fourth quarter. And yeah, it looked like it was a game of quarters. You know, LSU started out great. Then NC State did well. Tigers kind of dominated the third. And then it looked like NC State was going to run away with it in the fourth. And then, I don't know, as I was watching it, like NC State was just missing shots. Tigers had just about every defensive rebound that they wanted. Like there wasn't anyone near them most of the time they were getting these rebounds. And LSU then turned it into points, took back control of the game, and held on to win it. I thought that was a good showing of grit, especially since I think they lost Flo-J for like the last few minutes, got a finger in the eye or something. Uh-huh. Yeah, but then unfortunately, you know, it didn't. They still fared well against the UCLA, the number one overall seed, but just kind of couldn't hold on the last few minutes. You know, there was probably one possession that could have sealed it, but, you know, hate to blame the refs, but, you know, you see what you see. I don't know. Were you guys able to watch any of that, or did you just kind of check in when you could, like me?
I checked in as well. Daniel, what about you?
Yeah, I watched most of the NC State game and then the second half of UCLA. And yeah, a good win in the Sweet 16. And then we faced UCLA, who we had knocked out in the Sweet 16 last year. And so we made it to as far as we did last year in the Elite Eight when we fell to Iowa. But it was just kind of a bad matchup, I think. UCLA, they had one girl, Lauren Betts, who was like their 6'7" or something.
It was like 6'8", yeah, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, center. And you could tell she was just dominating us down low in the post. And that had been our bread and butter all season because our shooters, Michaela Williams and others, they're good, but not great. So we typically won with our physicality, but then we met someone who could out physical us. And at that point, then we couldn't keep up with their perimeter shooting. And we shot like 25% from three or something. And it was just kind of a little bit too little too late for the Tigers, which is disappointing. Still a good season overall. Can't really complain too much about Elite Eight, but with Kim Mulkey at the helm, I think Final Four is mostly the expectation almost every year for the Tigers faithful. So, and I mean, we won the national championship 2 years ago, so we're in the mix and competing. Good season for them, and certainly much better than the men. So can't take anything away there. Would have been nice to see them go on to the Final Four, but there's always next year, and they definitely have the talent to kind of keep the program at a high level. So still overall encouraging.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know. It's sad to see that they lost, but yeah, it's good to see that they're still competing. I mean, I trust in Kim Mulkey. I know things could be different next year. I mean, they were dealing with some injuries this year. I think they already lost one to the portal now, but easy come, easy go. The men, however, the men's Final Four is set. You can speak on that. I mean, we do have Auburn and Florida facing each other another time this year. And then you also have Houston and Duke. Take your pick. But really quick, I did want to mention that at least the men's already hitting the portal hard. We got to transfer in from the Bulldogs, Mississippi State. Speaking of them, Michael Nwoko could be a big presence for us in the middle. Guy's 6'10", already has SEC experience, I think like 32 games. And then there was another transfer in from UNLV, who I think would be a junior. I hope I'm saying this right. Sorry if I'm not. Dayden Thomas or Dedan Thomas Jr. Unless it's really French and it's Dayden, right?
But I kind of doubt that.
Yeah, probably not. You're right. Although his dad was a pro, and he actually played with the Running Rebs in the early 90s when they were really good. So this guy could be a game changer for us. We'll see. But though they've already committed to LSU out of the portal, so welcome to them. But yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think about, I don't know, that if you had any comments about them, but also, you know, the Final Four, which is like 50% SEC again.
My overall thoughts on I feel like this transfer portal NIL world has, especially with Matt McMahon at the head of LSU, has really just set it up to be by the time we tip off next year, it'll be, you know, almost 10 new brand new guys who you have never heard from, never seen before. And so I'm not holding my breath or on this team yet. I think it's just going to be a wait and see and see what happens next year. Cause right now, like you said, we've got a ton of people who've left it from the portal, and we're picking up people to fill their spots, hoping we're upgrading, right? That, you know, with the $2 million, I think it's $2 million that they've committed to NIL for the basketball program, where you're hoping that that we're going to be upgrading, because to my knowledge, we weren't spending a ton of money on this team this year. If we were, that's an issue too. So overall, cautiously optimistic. But not, I'm not buying Final Four tickets for next year right away.
I think that's just the reality of college basketball. Well, college sports in general, but basketball especially, is you kind of just get your group of hired mercenaries for the year and then see what they can do. There was plenty of graphics put out on Twitter and stuff about like guess the team based on like the schools that their players started at, kind of in the Sweet 16. And I think Purdue was the only one you could tell that was like, this is Purdue, because like four out of their five starters were Purdue. But you could see teams like Florida and Alabama and stuff, like they hadn't basically no players starting there. It's all transfers. So you just get a fresh crop one season after the other. That hasn't worked out too well for Matt McMahon the last few years. And it's hard to say that this will be the year that changes that trend. Maybe these guys will be better. I've already seen that we've got 5 outgoing transfers. So these people don't like their time at LSU very much. And they're out the door. Maybe the guys we get come in will be a little bit better. Not quite sure. It's hard to build a culture and build a program with that going on, but we'll see what happens. This is basically the final year under the McMahon era, unless something magical happens, I would expect. So we'll see whether he kind of leaves it all out on the court, literally, or whether it's he just kind of
they leave him on the court.
he cruises into that golden parachute after the season.
I don't know. Well, you're right. It's his last time. I'd say he just, what's he got to lose? Go for anything, right? I say he needs to just take on the Les Miles riverboat gambler persona. Just roll the dice, because whatever he gets out of the portal, whatever he can put together in the next, 9 months, then great. Maybe he can put together a Yahtzee,
Where he just, why not,
shakes him up and rolls
ass
it.
Offers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they're recorded now. He can put that in a tweet. It's like,
yeah, you could
inquire within.
He needs to lean in. He needs to start, but the best part about Will Wade with LSU was, we were the bad boys of the SEC and nobody, we need to go back to that, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. We were physical too. Like, good, strong defense.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have that now. I guess maybe they're going to have that in the Eastern Carolinas at the Wolfpack, but yeah, we need an edge, something. That's what's, a lot of good teams, and not just LSU basketball, but Louisiana in general, right? LSU's football defense in the 90s or 2000s, nasty. That's what helped made us be good. The years the Saints were good, they also had a nasty defense, right? They had the dump patrol ever since then, when the Saints, were able to win a title. There was Bounty Gate and all that, but yeah, they were nasty.
Oh yeah.
And they were good. They won. But I think that's what they need. They need some nasty, stingy defense and just some guys that can score, looking pretty or not. Maybe the transfers in from UNLV and Mississippi State will get us there. I mean, maybe one of those guys is his jaw. We'll see.
Yeah,
but he needs a jaw. He needs a jaw, or he's going to need a new job.
That's right.
Yeah, and back to the actual good teams in the Final Four. They'll be playing on the 5th on Saturday, back to back. Yeah, Auburn versus Florida, SEC matchup, and then Duke versus Houston, which to me I think is actually a more intriguing matchup, with Duke's kind of dominant offense so far, and Houston's playing a real stingy defense. Duke's been kind of steamrolling people while Houston's been more of scratching it out. I picked Florida to win the national championship before the tournament started, and I think Tommy had Duke, so both of our teams still alive, although it's been chalk across the board with the 4 seeds all in there, first time since 2008 and only the second time ever. So hopefully this spells good basketball. We saw a few kind of more blowout type games in the Elite Eight, but I hope they can close this out and get a good matchup to go on, and maybe the SEC, either Florida or Auburn, will cut down the nets and bring it home.
Right.
I like what I'm seeing. I like what I'm seeing out of Duke. I picked them, and they've been good to me. I think Cooper Flagg is tough to beat, and Auburn's obviously very good on the other side of the bracket. But I think overall, I like an Auburn Duke with a Duke win.
Okay, if it was Duke in Florida, would you guys have any friendly action?
I'm not sure. Maybe just for bragging rights.
No, bragging, that's what I meant. Like, I mean, Daniel can't shave his head. I mean, he's got a wedding to look forward to. You know, exactly. some friendly wager.
We need to put something together. If it is Duke, because we'll record, I think, before the national championship. So if it's Duke, Florida, we'll put something together for the listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there is that. I don't know if you guys had any other thing. Well, anything else on basketball, but I don't know. It was another good week for all, other LSU sports. Did y'all see Jelani Watkins. It's our new wide receiver, but he also runs track.
Yes.
Guy just like helped set. He tied the national time for 100 meters. So he's like the top time in the nation. I think came in one guy with at USC. Can't wait to see that in the fall.
Yeah, I mean we're gonna have a lot of speed on the football field this coming year between him, Berrien Brown, Chris Hilton, who's got, as they love to say, verified track speed, and Aaron Anderson, he's not slow either.
Right.
I love having speed at the wide receiver position, and I mean speed anywhere. You want as fast as you can. You want the fastest people you can get at almost every position. But speed at wide receiver, especially with a veteran quarterback like Nussmeier coming back, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. And speaking of, I don't know, LSU did have a pro day. Did y'all get anything from that? I mean, I don't know if there's anyone that just was really like, wow. Although Josh Williams just didn't look real. He looked like completely chiseled. The guy did really well at pro day, but he was just like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize he was like
built like that.
Yeah, exactly. Unless I mean he's just been doing a lot of stuff since the end of the season.
I saw from the pro day was Mason Taylor, who I think had sat out the combine maybe with injury, but he had a real nice pro day. I think ran 4.57 and then put up a bunch of reps in the bench press, so I think most NFL scouts have him as kind of like their third or fourth tight end in the draft, which is not too shabby for him. And so I think he made himself a little bit of money, and hopefully he'll have his name called maybe on day two of the draft. But yeah, that was it. And hoping for good draft results for all the Tigers.
Right. Do you think Will Campbell solidified a first round for himself?
I hope so. There were rumors out at the combine that they measured his arms and they were like the shortest arms any NFL scout had ever seen. He was like 99.9th percentile in that. And they're saying like his arms are too short to play tackle in the NFL. They got to move him to guard. I don't think that's too realistic. I mean, if you can block against SEC level edge rushers kind of day in and day out, then you can probably handle yourself in the NFL. And that's pretty much what he said to stake his claim. So I think he may not be like a top five pick like people were considering at the beginning of the season, but I think maybe late round one, and that's not a bad spot to be in.
Mm. I mean, they said Burrow's hands were too small too. So, you know.
Yeah. What do they know? I just go by what Mel Kiper says. I don't know about you guys. but anyway, I don't know. I think that was about it. Unless y'all had something else that you wanted to mention.
No, that's all. The baseball, once again, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, just FYI. And then, yeah, men's Final Four on Saturday. So tune into all that, and hope everybody has a good week.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And with that, that'll do it for us here on Talkin' Tigs. We will have a recap for what he just said next week. So until then, hope everybody have a good one. Stay safe. Stay tuned. We will talk to you next time right here on Talkin' Tigs.